I want to invite you to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. I'm going to read them again. And just, I want to talk this morning about the importance of perseverance through the spiritual battle. And it says here, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist them firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray to the Lord before we go into this message. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for the freedom that we have in you through Christ, Lord, and acknowledging that you, Lord, shed your blood for us to give us the freedom that we enjoy and the salvation that we will have, Lord. And thank you for allowing us to walk in faith. Also, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be here in this nation, Lord, proclaiming your gospel and proclaiming, Lord, your truth with liberty, Lord. Thank you that you allow us to be part of a congregation and to be able, Lord, to have a Bible in our hands. And Lord, thank you for those that died, not only, Lord, in this nation, but actually died, Lord, and fought for the gospel, for your word, for us to have a Bible, for us to have what we know today. And Lord, we know that this was your purpose, and we know that you're calling us also, Lord, to go in battle, Lord, and to continue on until the end, Lord, because you have the victory for us. Now, Lord, guide us and direct us through this message and allow us to see your wisdom and your grace in these passages, Lord, as we continue on in our learning of this letter, Father. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Anyway, as I was saying last week, we learned through this passage of the spiritual battle in which we live. And we were made aware of how important it is for us to know that there is a spiritual battle. Now, we saw three directives in which we are to live in order to walk in freedom and fulfill God's purpose in our lives. And one of them is we recognize that we are in this ongoing spiritual battle. You know, the Bible says that when we share the gospel and when we learn the gospel, think about this, angels long to see the things that are being proclaimed. Are you aware of that? I mean, how important it is, the gospel, and how powerful it is that God is saving, you know, people, human lives, and angels long to see for these things. Now, in the same way as angels are present, sometimes I believe angels are present in our worship services, the enemy is seeking someone to devour. And that tells us that there are demons, and Satan at times is just looking for an opportunity to come and divide and bring destruction and fight us. We recognize the battle. We also are called to resist this ongoing battle in faith. And then we rejoice knowing that through the battle, God will restore and confirm and strengthen and establish us. God has a purpose. But as I was looking at this message, you know, and we're getting almost to the end of this letter, I was thinking, Lord, is there opportunity for us to keep going in this, or you want us to move to another area? And sometimes when we're in the battle, you know, we wonder why we are there and how long are we going to stay there. And perseverance through the battle is important because as Christians, we wonder sometimes, how do we continue in faith when it seems that there is no end to the spiritual battle that we face? I mean, we pray, we wonder what's going on, we look at the victory, and we say, God, what do we do? What do we do in many ways? We try to pray or ask for freedom and overcome the battle, but it continues to be present. What are we to do in that situation? And what is our call as Christians when we pray for victory and yet God says, no, not now. Keep praying. Keep walking in faith. Keep persevering in faith. This is not the time for victory. Have you ever been there in a moment when you seem like the victory is not arriving to your life? And, you know, as we look at this, you know, we got to remember that as we see in these Bible verses here, faith is the strength, is the ability that allows us to go beyond our own strength, even to the point of dying. And many Christians, if you look at the Bible, many Christians died believing, believing what was promised to them, and they didn't receive it in this life. We are to be aware of that, you know, because sometimes we come to church, we read the word, we encourage one another, but we also need to be aware that there are times when we don't see victory in our either our lifetime or on this side of eternity. We don't see that victory. And many, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, died seeing what God had promised them, but they died believing, they died trusting, and that's the kind of faith that we need to have. And really, that's the kind of faith that is going to make us resist the enemy, and very often God is going to bring victory to us, but there is an important part in us as we believe. As believers, we are required by God to persevere in faith as we face the spiritual battle. That's the importance of faith in the spiritual battle. We continue on, although we don't see victory. And as we face the attack of the enemy, we're called by God in this verse to resist them, to resist the enemy firm in our faith. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. If you remember, there was a moment in the life of Peter when Jesus was there in the last night of his life with the disciples, and he's ministering to them, and he's telling them, there's a time when, and the time is now, when I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be taken up to the cross. And Jesus speaks to Peter and he says, Peter, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Look at how important faith is in the life of a Christian in light of a spiritual battle. And then Jesus says, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So there is a battle coming for you, Peter. And Satan has demanded to have you. I mean, he's not just asking for this, but he's demanding to have you for a while. And he wants to sift you like wheat. I mean, he wants to just beat you to the ground and destroy you. But I have prayed one thing, which is very important, that your faith may not fail in the midst of this battle. God allows the battle. Are you aware of that? God is the one who allows the battle in our lives. Now, when God allows the battle, according to His Word, every battle will end in His time. I mean, the enemy is restricted by God to the point where God wants him to get to us. Amen? And that's a blessing, that's security for us. We know that when the enemy is trying to attack us, it's because God is allowing him to do this. But you know, he will not go far there than what God allows him. And then the timing of victory or the timing of that battle to end is in God's hand. Actually, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, after you have suffered a little while, there's a time for us to suffer, the God of all grace will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There's a time for us to be suffering. But you know, we have no idea of the length of the battle. We don't really get into a battle knowing that it's going to be a 6-month battle, right? Or a 2-week battle, or an hour battle. Sometimes it's years in the battle. And God doesn't tell us. He doesn't warn us. And the battle against the Christian is subtle and deceptive, and is manifested in many forms, you know, through sickness, financial problems, you know, division in families, sometimes in the church, you know, accusations, the slander, you know, the enemy trying to attack us in different ways, in our minds, in our hearts. We don't know what kind of battle we're facing or how the battle is going to come, but many of these battles are unexpected and extremely difficult. Very, very difficult. And you know, one thing that I'm surprised is, it seems like when the battle comes, that's the place where I least expected the battle to attack me from. Have you noticed that? You know, and even Peter, I mean, he was like, Jesus, I will not deny you. If it is necessary for me to go and die with you, I will do it. Well, he didn't see it coming. He didn't expect it coming, attacking his image and making him, you know, wonder if he was going to deny Jesus at that moment. But, you know, when we are in the battle, and I want to be reminded of this verse all the time, and very often, you know, in my own battles, I say, God, allow me to remember that this is just a test. Allow me to remember that this is just a test. This is a trial in my life. But also this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. First of all, the temptation or the trial or the test, because that word temptation is in the Greek can be translated as test or temptation. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. Every Christian is going to face battles. Now, God is faithful in these battles, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God knows our strength. He knows our frame. And as He's testing us or tempting or allowing us to be tempted, you know, He will always keep us in consideration with our strength. And then it says, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape. What is the way of escape? How can I fight this battle? How can I resist the enemy in faith? Look for that opportunity, that window of escape. And I think that's really faith, that you may be able to endure it. Our window of escape is to be in faith, resisting the enemy. Right there, you know, holding on to what you believe from Jesus, holding on to the Word of God, holding on in prayer and saying, God, I know You are with me and this is just a test. This is not going to last more than You want to, and this has a purpose in my life, and I will endure this because You are with me. This is very important, you know, when we are thinking about these battles. Now, we will get through the battle only as we continue to stand in faith. And that is vital for us to know, Christians. We will resist the enemy firm in faith. So if we are standing in faith, we will overcome the battle. In Luke 22:32, what we saw, Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now, I wish Jesus would have said, now, Peter, I told him not to get close to you. But He didn't say that, okay? He didn't say, I told him not to get close to you. Or, you know, just pray and He will not get close to you. He says, no, He's going to have you there. But after, when you have turned again, strengthen your brother. So there was a promise right there for Peter. There will be a moment in your life because of faith, because I have prayed that your faith will not fall. There's a moment when you're going to turn around. Now strengthen your brothers. There was a prophecy right there. What a beautiful picture of how we are to stand in faith. So we see here the key to Peter's perseverance was faith. The key to him turning back was faith. The key to Peter strengthening his brother was faith in Jesus Christ. What kind of faith? Well, Jesus knows me. He knows that I'm going to fail. He knows that the enemy is attacking me. But He also is telling me that He's praying that my faith will not fail. And that when I turn back, because I will be able to turn back, Jesus is keeping the door open for me, I will be able to strengthen my brothers. So He's got a purpose with me. In the midst of my failures, He's got a plan in my life. And that's very, very beautiful. Now, the reality is that through many, that although many Christians, many people say they believe, without a strong and persistent faith, it is impossible to persevere through the battle. If we were to go out to the streets and ask people, how many of you believe in God? You know, many people believe in God. Are you aware of that? In fact, the Bible says that the demons tremble, so they do believe. Okay? But you know, not everybody has the kind of faith that is going to lead them to persevere against battles, you know, forever. If we go, and I want you to go with me to this passage in Mark chapter 4, and look at this simple parable, but how it explains us the importance of faith as we are following Jesus Christ. Jesus is explaining actually the parable of the sower here. And it says in verse 14, Mark 4:14, it says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, when they listen to the word, and in Matthew it says, Satan confuses them so they don't understand. But it says, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So he comes and just snatches the word away from them. And those are the ones, and then it goes on to say, okay, I went too far. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. They only persevere for a while. Then, when tribulation, and many times it's because of the battle, or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. They fall away. They didn't have enough faith to persevere, to continue. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, so this is also part of the battle, and the desires of other things, whether the flesh, you know, or the vanity of eyes, you know, when they come and they enter in, they choke the word and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So how important is faith in our walk? It's vital. I mean, we have to receive the word, we have to believe the word, and we have to persevere through the word that was given to us. And see, it depends how rooted we are. And I really believe that those roots are really our faith in the word of God and what we really need to have. And we're going to go on to that in a little while. But as we look at this, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil. This is another picture. See, in Peter, the picture is the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Okay? So in the morning, Satan wakes up and he says, I'm going to look for Christians with faith and I'm going to just devour them. Think about this. He's eating Christians that say they have faith. He's trying to attack them and eat them. But you know, when we stand in faith, he has no chance against us. Now here in Ephesians, he says, in all circumstances, through everything you're going, take up the shield of faith because the enemy is sending flaming darts against you, but that shield of faith is going to stop the flaming darts. What a picture of our faith stopping the attack of the enemy when he's coming against us. So faith is very, very important. As we look at the importance of faith, we must remember that by God's power, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. See, it's His power that's protecting us. It's not our faith. It's not that I have a special kind of faith. No, faith is given by God. Amen? We think of us according to the gift of faith that God has put in us, okay? But as we stand in faith, we grow in faith, we develop our faith, and we are rooted in faith, God is protecting us because of the faith. Look at that. That's what He's saying there. By God's power, we're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So the power of God is activated as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him. And I look at this, and this is what the Bible is telling us, and I think, Lord, in the midst of every battle, I want to stand in faith. I want to believe that You are for me. I want to believe that although I have many, many trials and tribulations and persecutions and attacks of the enemy, I'd be able to overcome because You're guarding me, and I believe that God is guarding me. How many of you believe God is guarding you? You know, if you think about this, you know, when you wake up, and you go on your day to the time you go back home. I mean, how many turns and how many intersections and how many thoughts and how many opportunities for sin and evil you have during the day. But yet think about this. God is always guarding you. God is always guarding you. And you know, we got to trust in Him and we got to believe in this with all of our heart. Now, why is faith so important in our spiritual battle? And how do we grow in it? I mean, why is faith so important in a spiritual battle? And how can I grow in that faith? I mean, how can I have a stronger shield, you know, and or have a shield always with me that is protecting me in the midst of the battle? And I was thinking of this and I thought, well, one reason of the importance of faith is that faith proves that we are Christians, that we have a genuine relationship with Christ and the Father. How many of you are Christians? And I don't really want to see your hands. Really, what I want to tell you is faith will prove that you are a Christian. Your faith will prove if you are a genuine Christian when time goes by. The years, you know, the endurance through the battle will tell me that you are. And this will also not only prove it, God doesn't need to be proven in that. It's us who need to know that we are His and that we are enduring in the battle. Our faith proves that we have that relationship with God. And as Pastor Doug shared last week, in Revelation 12:11, it says, they have conquered Him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of the Lamb is giving us transformation and regeneration, and it has made us a new creature. And by the word of the testimony, we have the testimony of Christ in our hearts, and because we loved not our lives even unto death. That means we have a faith and a relationship with God that is leading us even to death. To death, if it's necessary. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with Christ. In John 1:12-13, the Bible says, to all who did receive Him, and look at the power of faith, who believe in His name. When we believe in Christ, He gave us the right to become children of God. The authority, the privilege to be His children. And we are born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. It's a supernatural relationship. It's a supernatural encounter with God, and it's a supernatural transformation. Amen? just by believing in Christ. Now, in 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And if we love God, we will keep his commandments. We will keep believing in him, and we will go on until the day we die, or Jesus comes back for us. That's the kind of faith. Now, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So when we have this faith and believe in him and rejoice with knowing that he has given us salvation, you know, we are going to obtain the outcome of our faith. What's the outcome of our faith? Is the salvation of our souls. And we are saved by faith, and we claim that we have that salvation, and when we get together we say we are saved by faith, but the outcome and the fulfillment of the completion of that salvation is when we meet Jesus and go with him. So that's very, very important. Now in John 14:12 it says, truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. So if we believe in Jesus, that faith allows us to keep going and do what Jesus did. We often use this verse to talk about miracles and the things that we're able to perform through Christ. But really, also that means as Jesus went to the cross, because we believe in him, we are able to go to the cross. Amen? As he did it, we are also able to do it. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So our faith proves our genuine relationship with Christ and the Father. But also, our faith is strengthened to persevere as we continually cultivate a spiritual relationship with God. If we want to grow in faith, we need to have a personal, a spiritual relationship with God. How many of you like shortcuts? I love shortcuts, you know. Shortcuts are great. I mean, I'm plowing snow here, you know, in the middle of the winter, and I'm always thinking, how can I go faster, you know? And how can I push this snow farther so I don't have to do it again? And you're always thinking on how to cut corners and do things faster. But you know, that sometimes gets us in trouble. Because when we talk about a relationship with God, we have to invest in God. You know, I was thinking about this and this week, you know, the how we like shortcuts. And Friday morning I wake up, and usually one or 2 days of the week I cook pancakes for the kids in the morning. I thought, okay, I'm going to do breakfast this morning. And my wife comes out and she says, well, today we got nothing, is your day off. Why don't we do tortillas? You know, tortillas is one of the toughest meals to cook, okay? It takes a long time to do that. And I thought, well, I wasn't really thinking of that, but sure, yeah, that, yeah, I gotta just serve my wife here. And I thought, I'm gonna give my best this morning. So she mixes everything, you know, together, and she puts the water and everything. And I'm thinking, you know, it's almost 10 o'clock. By the time we get done with this, I mean, tortillas takes a long time. So, you know, she always prepares the dough, and I'm the one who cooks them. She's training me, and it's taking her a while for that. But, you know, she grabs them and puts them on the right there on the hot slate, and I'm just cooking them, and I'm thinking, you know, it takes about a minute and 40 seconds to get this thing done. Everyone, and I counted, and there were 27, you know, 27. I thought, that's going to be almost an hour, you know. But I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, how can I get faster to do this? I mean, my wife is fast. I need to get faster. So I say, okay, honey, I'm struggling to put it on the flat surface here. Why don't you do that for me? As I pull it out, I'm going to tell you, you just throw it in there. Okay, I'll do that. So she's doing it. And then I'm start just flipping it over and just going through it. And I'm getting a little faster, 5, 10, 20 seconds. And right in the middle, she caught me and she says, you know, they're not well cooked, okay? Look, I mean, you're not cooking them well. And okay, I said, I was saving some seconds, you know, 5, 10, 15 seconds. In fact, I was thinking, you know, if we add it all together, you know, we're going to save some good minutes here. But I was caught. Now, this is the thing, you know, we sat down at the table and we're eating breakfast, and, you know, she's handing the tortillas to us, and she said, see, this one needed more cooking, honey. And I thought, you know, how important it is for us to go through the process that Jesus wants us to go through so that we grow to the stature that Jesus is planning us to grow. Amen. But if we are planning for shortcuts, you know, we're not going to get there. So as we look at this, our faith needs to have to be cultivated with a spiritual relationship with God. How do we do that? Well, we will persevere in faith as we grow in the knowledge of his word. And it takes time. It takes commitment. It takes discipline. It takes knowing the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, and we refer to this passage very often, it says, "Everyone then who hears those words of mine," these words of mine, Jesus says, "and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fail because it had been founded on the rock." So when we are in the Word of God, and not only we hear the Word, but actually we apply the Word of God in our lives, our house is being established by faith. And believe me, there's a time when rain is going to fall and floods are going to come and the winds are going to blow and beat on that house. But if we don't have faith, if we have not been established in the Word of God, we're going to be thrown down. And it says in the next verse, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So we are to apply the Word of God in our life. We are to grow in it. There's no shortcut for this. So we need to, as we do this, we need to do our best to present ourselves. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God." So let me ask you a question. How are you handling the Word of God in your life? You know, I mean, do you know God's commandments? Do you know God's will for your life through His Word? You know, and think about this. This is the instruction of God for us. I mean, this is the direction for salvation. And there was a time in my life when I considered myself well-read in the Bible, you know, in my early Christian years. And I read the Bible a lot. But really, when I started teaching and when I started listening, you know, with the flood of information that we have through internet and all these magazines and books, I thought, I don't know much about the Word. And when I was question about different topics and different issues in the Bible in regard to abortion or death penalty or war or different things, marriage, divorce, I thought, I don't really know much about the Bible. Lord, you have all that in your Bible. I want to learn that. But you know, you don't wake up one morning and read 6 chapters, 7 chapters, and you memorize them. I mean, I wish I do that, right? But you have to go back to the Word, and you have to really invest time in it, and you have to ask the Lord, lead me through this passages and speak to me, and invest time and grow in faith in the Lord, because as we grow, our faith grows, and our faith grows is defeating the enemy, you know, right and left when we're walking according to God's will. Amen? We have to do that. Now, we grow also in faith, in discernment, through a life of prayer. As we pray and we seek the Lord. I want you to turn with me to this passage in John 1. And I know it's verse 5 is there, but look at James 1. Because it talks about the battle there and how important it is for us to be willing to understand the importance of going through trials and everything. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces a steadfastness." So, see, as we grow in faith and we're tested, we're just more and more persevering. We have more endurance. And it says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So as you go through the trial, God is shaping you and He's forming you to that completeness that you need to have. And then in verse 5 it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach." So as we are in the battle, we pray to God and we seek the face of God and we ask God, "What are you trying to do in my life? And how can I continue on in my walk with you so that I have everything that you want me to have through this battle?" Because God is shaping us through the battle. He's actually molding us. And you know, when I think of this, He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. So God has a plan and a purpose in us that without battling and without struggling and without attacks of the enemy, we will not be able to get to. So we need to pray and we need to spend time with the Lord. And I think of this often. The Bible says that He will reward those who seek Him in secret. Amen? And that takes prayer. That takes time as well. Why we pray? Well, 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So as we are in the battle, we pray to the Lord and we say, God, what is it? What's going on here? How can I fight this battle in my own life? I mean, is there a better way to do it? I know what I want to do and I want to flee from this battle and I want to overcome it fast, but is there something else that you want me to be doing as I test the situation and the spirit that is against me in my own life? That is very, very important. And even when we are sick and when we have financial situations, we are to ask the Lord for direction and say, God, what is taking place here? Is this because of my bad decisions in life? Have I done something that I didn't supposed to do? Are you correcting me? Or this is just a battle from the enemy? How can I fight against this in my own life? But see, it requires the knowledge of God through prayer in our lives. And I was thinking of how important this is. Let me invite you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at a man who was in the midst of a battle here. And I mean, I look at this, and although the battle, I really look at this and I think, God, this is hard for me to understand in many ways, but the fact that you spoke to Paul and told him what was going on was a victory for him. 2 Corinthians 12, and if you remember, Paul gives this knowledge to Christians that he was taken up to heaven and he saw things that he was not even able to utter, to express. He saw paradise. That's what he says. And he says, I look at great things over there. But in verse 7, he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. He had a wonderful revelation, but there was a temptation there for him to become conceited, to be arrogant. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of this revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. This is the word of God. And he was battling with the messenger from Satan. And the messenger was harassing him. Was it physically? Was it mentally or emotionally? We don't know. But he says, to keep me from becoming conceited. See, God knew what Paul needed. And God was shaping Paul. Now it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Three times he prayed. And believe me, Paul was a man of prayer. And he prayed for people and they came back from the dead, right? They were resuscitated. And he prayed for sick people and God healed them and he saw a lot of miracles. And he prayed three times and God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, hold on right there. Endure the battle. I have a greater plan than what you think. How many of you know that the plans of the Lord are greater than our plans? And if they are greater, they are also better. So we have to endure. Now, Paul says, he goes on and he says here, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses and insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, he was stronger in his faith, not that the battle was gone, but he was stronger in his faith. Why? Because he had a relationship with God and God spoke to him and told him what was going on in his life. Think about this. I mean, I get up and I go on my car and my car is kind of just startling or something's going on and I get to the stop sign over there and the car dies. So I try to start it again and finally it comes on and I drive a little farther and I can see that the car is not working right. You know, and I pulled over for a minute and I think, oh boy, what's wrong with the car? And I'm really worried, you know. And then I know a little bit of mechanics. I think, well, I don't think it's the battery because he started again and it's still trying to go. Maybe it's the alternator. Well, not the alternator. And I start thinking and I say, maybe it's the computer. Maybe it's going to be $800, maybe $1,000. How can I fix this? So, you know, I make it to the mechanic and the mechanic gets a tool out and tests the car. And he says, it's not your battery, it's not your alternator, it's not the computer either. Actually, it's a power regulator. I don't know what that is, you know. But he says, it costs $180. I got it right here in stock. Let me go get it for you. The CarQuest guy might say that. Or, you know, and he comes and puts it on. I mean, even if I don't have the money to fix it right there, to know what's wrong with the car is victory. Amen? That's the biggest part of overcoming the battle. I know what's going on. You know, I went to the doctor because I felt sick, and now the doctor tell me what's going on. I have identified the problem. Paul, through prayer, identified what was going on in his life. And he knew that the only thing he needed to do was to endure through the battle, to persevere. There was a plan. And maybe a hint there was, keep yourself humble, Paul. Keep yourself humble. Don't become conceited. And maybe this will go away. So this is an amazing thing to understand, you know, through prayer, that God has a purpose in the midst of the battle. Faith is to believe in God regardless of the circumstances. Faith is to keep going although we don't see the end of our problems. Faith, you know, is what makes us strong in the midst of confusion and in the midst of turbulence and things that we don't understand. We are called to a life of prayer, to grow in faith. In fact, the Bible over and over it says, pray and watch, or watch and pray. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to be perseverant in that faith, and we will do it when we continue. How important it is to persevere in faith, and to pray, and to know what to do in the moment of the trial. One day, my wife and I, it was in the middle of the night. You know, we were driving from New Mexico to Colorado, and I decided to drive through I-25, and I think this was the springtime, so there are times somewhere in Raton over there when the fog is just thick. I mean, it was one of those nights. Must have snowed somewhere or something, and it was probably the next day, and it was just thick in the freeway, and my wife is saying, are you sure you want to keep going like this? And I'm like, I don't really want to spend the night on the side of the freeway. I want to go home and rest in our bed. We've been gone for a few days. Now I want to be home. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go for a little more, just a couple more miles, and it's going to clear up. And I'm going more and more and more. And it's just, I'm very slow. I barely see ahead of me. And I'm about to give up. You know, I'm about to say, you know what am I doing here? I'm going to hit something or go off on a curve. And I'm thinking about pulling over, and I'm thinking, what's the best place to pull over, when all of a sudden that fog is just gone. And I thought, oh boy, cleared up. And I can see the stars. And I'm like, all right, well, good. I speed up a little more and a little more and one more mile. And it's cleared up all the way to Denver. And I thought, wow. I thought, how important it is for me to understand that sometimes I'm about to stop. I'm about to give up. And I have no idea that the victory is just ahead the curve right there. So, you know, when we are faithful to God, we got to remember, some days we feel like giving up, but we got to remember, victory may be just outside the curve out there, just on the other curve. You got to continue to keep going in faith. We don't know when God is going to give us the victory, but we pray, we have a relationship with Him, and we say, Lord, I want to know You more, and I want to be able to endure in the midst of the battle. Also, we grow in faith as we are led and enabled by the Spirit of God. And this is very important. As we grow in prayer and we go in our knowledge through the Word, you know, actually we build a relationship with the Spirit of God. And in Romans chapter 8, look at how important it is for us to understand this. In verse 14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we are led by the Spirit. And it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. The Spirit of God is not the spirit of slavery, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And see, one thing in the midst of the battle I want to know is this. Am I still your son, Lord? Do you know what I'm talking about? When confusion is attacking you, when you feel like you're not worthy, as John was sharing, you know, how can you come and raise your hands? How can you claim that you're a Christian when look what you do and look how inconsistent you are? And when I'm in the battle, you know, the enemy is attacking your mind and your heart and bringing condemnation to you. But when you are led by the Spirit, one thing is certain, you are a child of God. That's what the Spirit tells us. Through the Word and in prayer. And it says that we are adopted. We have received the spirit of adoption. And it says, as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And see, there are times in the midst of the battle when we cry out and we say, Father, am I yours? It says, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, if you have a superficial relationship with God, If you say, well, I go to church and I do have a Bible and I wish I grew a little more, but you don't have a relationship with the Spirit of God, how can you sense when the Spirit of God is speaking to you or the enemy is using a spirit to speak to you? Now, it says here also, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So we endure because we are sons and daughters of Christ and of God, of the Father. And then in verse 28, it says, in the same chapter, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of you are weak? But the Spirit is the one who helps us. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And see, very often, even if we just surrender to God in our knees and say, God, I don't even know what to pray anymore, but here I am. Speak to me. Enable me. Not only lead me, but enable me to be strong in the midst of this battle. Let me tell you, there's power there. The Spirit is interceding for you. And it says in verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So God is shaping us. He's leading us. He's taking us to a different place. But what makes us strong is that the Spirit is leading us and we know we are God's. And also the Spirit is enabling us to listen and to act according to the will of the Lord. So it is very important. The Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord. See, sometimes we want to listen to the latest message that is out there of someone famous. And that's okay. We want to worship God through some beautiful songs. And that is very edifying at times. We want to meet with people that are mentors and know the Word of God. And that is necessary in our Christian walk. But let me tell you something. There is a time when every one of us has to have a personal relationship with Christ. Amen? Everyone. There will be a time when in my life when I know that it makes no difference to talk to dog about my problems. God wants me to be in private with Him, to grow with Him. And He's going to give me some advice, but that's not going to cut it. Okay? And it's good, it's healthy for me to know that. God wants me on my knees with Him, growing. And that will give me the faith to endure. Now, we also endure in faith as we're accountable to one another. And look at this passage in Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. It says, how important is the faith in all these aspects? The faith is very important. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Okay? Be watchful. Pay attention. In fact, in the NIV version, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. This is talking to Christians. And he's telling, make sure you don't have this kind of heart, a heart that is doubting, leading you to fall away from the living God. Beware of what we're reading here. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, we are part of the body, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So we start by faith. We become children of God as we receive Him and we believe in Him, right? But we continue to be children of God as we continue to believe in Him and have the right heart. And then as we see here in the end, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. What a beautiful picture of those who endure to the end. What a beautiful picture. You know, I remember when my uncle, you know, who was a mentor in my early Christian years, you know, and I remember listening to him when he shared in the little congregation where we were, and he will share from time to time, and he will say, you know, I praise the Lord that I've been a Christian for 30 years in my life, and I haven't been faithful to the Lord, but the Lord has been faithful to me, and He's always good to me. And I used to think, what a beautiful picture of a man that has endured for 30 years. I've been a Christian for a year. I used to think that's a lot, and my uncle is very old, okay? But now I go back to Mexico, and I listen to him, and he says, I've been following the Lord for 55 years, 56 years, whatever. He's almost 80 years old, and he's been a believer for a long time. And see, he's confident of the Lord. And let me tell you, in many tribulations and problems and circumstances, he didn't see the victory soon enough as he wanted, okay? But he trusted God no matter what. He continued on. And we ought to see these kind of Christians as we look in this verse. You know, if we are to be continuing in faith, it says exhort one another every day. So we grow in faith as we're accountable to one another. Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So it is important for us to spend time with other Christians, to belong to the body of Christ, to be part of other believers' lives, and to be mentored by them. And also, we endure in faith as we continually have our powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So what we see here, let me read that verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 5. And what we see is the importance for us to be discerning and to be practicing and actually experiencing what is to overcome sin. It says in verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So constant practice tells me that I have a relationship with God in which I am encountering sin and I've been trained to decide what's right and what's wrong. And we as Christians need to have continually in us experience with victory over sin as we continue on. In Romans 12:21, the Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to continue doing what's right, even in the midst of facing evil, an attack of the enemy in a spiritual battle. So when we do this, when we do these things, I really believe in my own life, when I do these things, my faith grows and I'm stronger in the midst of the battle. And through any battle, we got to remember that God wants our faith to be stronger after the battle. Amen? He wants us to be stronger, firmer than we were before. So our victory in the spiritual battle takes place as we persevere in faith through a personal relationship with God, the knowledge of His Word, a life of prayer, and being accountable and challenging one another, and also the experience of constant victory over sin. And we finish with this verse. By God's power, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. As we have faith, God is guarding us from the attack of the enemy. So let's pray this morning as we continue here and as our worship team comes. Let's just ask God for direction and tell Him, God, allow me to invest in my growth and in my personal relationship with You, Christ. No shortcuts, you know. Investment. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word and the importance of faith in us, Lord, as we learn this. I realize, Lord, that very often we are doubting and we are scared and fearful, Lord, but as we trust in You, Lord, we will see You work in our behalf. And Lord, there are so many challenges ahead of us. There are so many battles that we're fighting. There are so many difficult things that we face. You are the one who gives the victory, Lord. You are the one who brings us to success, who brings us, Lord, to overcome temptation and trials and circumstances. We want to depend on You, and we want to grow in the knowledge of You. And we want to develop in us, Lord, an attitude of humility, an attitude, Lord, of growth, and an attitude, Lord, of dependency in You. Allow us to know Your Word. Allow us to spend time, Lord, in Your Word. And You have, Lord. You have given us time. Allow us to use our time wisely, as Your Word says, Lord. Because we are living in evil days, in days that are terrible around us, Lord. And allow us to be focused at all times. In Your precious name, Jesus. And also, we want to worship You in the midst of the battle. In Your precious name, Jesus, we thank You. Amen.